This program is sponsored by Walter Anderson Nursery.
If you have a green thumb or have always wanted one, then get ready for Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery, hosted by Ken Anderson, along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. Garden Talk aims to introduce new ideas, help solve problems, and keep you up to date on the latest developments in the nursery and landscaping industry. Call in now with your gardening questions. 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. Now, here are your Garden Talk hosts, Ken, David, Mark, and George.
Good morning, San Diego. You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I'm Ken Anderson along with David Ross and Mark Mahady. George Allman is out this weekend. Hopefully we'll have him back next week.
Yep.
Good morning, guys.
Very good. How are you guys this morning?
Good morning.
Doing well. Tonight looks like it's going to be a nice day.
Yeah, it's supposed to be warm this weekend, right? I mean, warmer. I know this yet really hasn't been nice.
Do you know what I always do?
It's perfect weather for me, but it hasn't really been warm.
Do you know what I always do before I come on the air?
You look for the moon.
Well, and the weather.
Oh, the weather, yeah.
And you know what I didn't do today?
I did look for
the weather. Well, you were running a little late this morning, so.
A couple of minutes.
No.
Actually, I got here on time.
You were
perfect.
I thought I was okay.
Don't.
Well, no. You're the one that
said
you were
going to be.
I thought I was going to be late.
I was.
No,
I did.
It's all good.
But, you know, these cars that the car I was driving has this thing to the right, and if you push it a little harder, it goes faster.
Yeah.
And then you get here on time.
You mean the tall, skinny pedal on the
tall, skinny one on the right, yeah.
And yeah, Stan Laurel of the pedals, not the short, fat one of the.
Very funny, Mark Mahady. I've never heard it put that way before.
Yeah, well, Lou Costello, at any rate.
Okay.
Date myself.
I don't know how warm it's supposed to be.
I know it's supposed to be warmer than. Well, yesterday afternoon was nice in my house, but in the morning it was cool. I went to the nursery in the morning, and it's perfect weather for me where it's a little bit overcast and. I thought it was nice and
nice
warm in the
afternoon. It's nice gardening weather.
Correct, right. Correct. That's
warm with a slight chance of chafing. Is
yeah,
that well, the forecast?
No. Well, chafing is that's a whole other thing.
Different story.
Yeah.
All right. Sorry. Good morning. Great morning.
We haven't hit August yet.
No. Yeah. I did.
My ulcer Marys look beautiful. I'll tell you that.
Do they? Mine looks pretty bad.
Yeah, I got. It's funny.
But mine's in a pot, and it doesn't get enough.
Well, it's funny. I have like five of them in pots and five in the ground, and they're all doing great. The ones in the pots are struggling a little bit more, only because I
don't water
exactly, and I need to. But I got. I mean, the colors are unbelievable.
You know, I have some Alstroemerias I've taken home on many occasions, and I'm going to plant them and pot them and do all this stuff,
whatever.
And they just sit in their pots, and then
the
pots
survive.
Go dormant, and then every once in a while. Container will show up, or a flower will show up. It'll start growing again.
Well, I have lots of colors, but I have the short ones, like the more desirable
the ones.
The dwarf ones. I mean, those things are insane. And I have like a really cool purple and a cool white one.
Do you have the Stan Laurels of
the
Alstroemeria?
Yeah, but the yellow one. I have some tall yellows that I mean are probably 3 feet long, flower spikes. And
we used to get that dwarf yellow one from Monrovia.
Monrovia, one of the Inca series.
Where they only got like a foot tall.
Yeah, and I have a bunch of those in different colors, and they're fine. And, I'm not a flower arranger by any stretch of the imagination.
Really?
But I do pick them, and I do have them in the house. So, and they last forever.
Knuckles.
Yeah,
Way to go.
Yeah, I mean, I have purples and reds and yellows and oranges and...
You wanted me to give you a piece of it last year. I have had each of those colors you've mentioned.
I don't do much.
They're pretty durable.
And I remember when we first started working there, do you remember? Well, you guys used to get them like Beirut.
The little tubers that would never grow.
We lost more money on those things.
Bright orange ones and bright yellow ones.
Yep, I remember.
And now,
that.
To be honest with you, they're growing in cracks at my house. And Mrs. Carden is the one that kind of turned me on to them years ago. She would have them growing in her sidewalk cracks. And it's funny because I was like, we can't grow those. And they would just be coming up everywhere. So,
we used to get hundreds of those things.
Oh, yeah.
And we'd plant them up every year, and then we'd throw everything away.
Yeah. Sell two or something. Yeah, or, yeah.
You know, the other thing that I remember we used to plant up every year, I don't even see them anymore, is astilbes.
Astilbes. Well, yeah, we
and dicentras.
Yes, dicentras. We used to do those for Valentine's Day. Now we sell the hell out of them now because like Premier or a couple of nurseries grow them. Yeah. So we'll get them in. And a lot of Northern California nurseries will do the astilbes and stuff.
Yeah.
So we do get them in, but not like
we used to.
No, potting them up was not in our best interest.
No, that didn't work.
Yeah, but
George Allman says, way to go, Mark. I'm assuming he's talking about you being successful with a flower. I'm not sure. He just texted me.
Oh, good.
I guess he's listening.
Thank you, George.
He's supervising.
You know, my grandparents on the Denver Street side of their house up along the fence, they had a huge section that was just full of, it had been growing there for years, that was full of alstroemerias. I mean, it was solid alstroemerias. And then
in the African daisy area there, under the
podocarpus? Over by where the kind of, over under the podocarpus on the street side of the little walkway where the where the Chinese lantern was.
Gotcha.
And the bird bath. That whole section was solid alstroemerias, and my folks had hired somebody to help my grandfather with the maintain the yard as he got older, and I don't know what happened, but the gardener came through and sprayed the whole thing with Roundup.
It worked.
And just wiped the entire section out. But they had been growing there. He had planted some, and they had been growing there for years, and they just
kept
reseeding and
spreading.
And just completely took over that area. So, but it, yeah, they're
It's a great cut flower. I just cut them. I cut them. I pull them out. And
well, you know, it's funny. The one that I have grown on the patio that's in the pot, I don't even know where it came from.
Yeah.
Because I don't ever remember buying an alstroemeria.
Yeah.
But they're there. And then sometimes of the year, they're just the pot's just absolutely solid with them. And like right now, I've got like two or three.
Yeah,
little shoots coming up.
Yeah, feed them, and they'll flower like it's pretty insane. Like I said, I don't care enough, but they do well.
I probably should feed them. You know, this year I kicked up my tomato game, and I used bigger pots and only put two plants instead of three into each pot, and I didn't have any grow power or EB Stone fertilizer at home, but I had some triple 16.
Sure, so just
I
threw it on there.
Oh my god, the best looking tomatoes I've ever grown.
Yeah, I mean, well, I have some tomatoes, volunteers that I did not. I mean, unfortunately, I kind of let them go last year, so now I got like a million tomatoes growing everywhere, and but they're doing well. I threw some fertilizer on them the other day, and they've doubled in size in like a week.
Yeah,
it's pretty amazing.
No, I cannot believe how big the tomatoes are. The plant, they're just now starting to set fruit. So I'll be curious.
I haven't even had any set fruit yet, but it's funny. We get phone calls from people that do you guys do peppers, right? I mean, just serranos or any of the.
Oh, you mean at home?
Yeah, at home.
Oh,
yeah,
I've got a couple. I can't remember what they are.
Does yours do well? Like, I mean, mine typically don't really start growing until June or July. I mean, until it gets hot.
Yeah.
I've got four in containers in there.
Sitting there.
They're just kind of sitting there. They're not doing bad, but
right.
They're certainly not taking off. They survive.
That's not the right word, but they maintain, and then usually. Like I said, mine just start, and when it gets hot, that's when they start to take off. But I've had a lot of people call and say they want to know what's going on with their tomatoes and peppers. But I think it's
a cool spring.
Yeah, I mean, and again,
yeah, it hasn't been. We haven't had a lot of heat yet.
Yeah, and so. Especially the hot ones, they really like the heat.
I planted all sweet peppers.
Okay.
I went and bought one of those bags of orange, yellow, and red peppers, the sweet peppers from Costco.
Costco, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they're great little snackers. So I. Put in some at the house, and they never taste the same. But we'll see.
Okay.
They're fruiting quite a bit, but they're all yellow and green. So
yeah, those bags of peppers from Costco. The way to do those is bring them home and throw them on the grill.
I thought you were going to say throw them in the garbage.
No, they're good. They're good.
How to make good tofu. Throw it in the garbage.
Just throw them on the grill and grill them up.
I typically kind of do that too. And I'm, like I said, I'm not a vegetable guy by
any stretch of the imagination.
Well, I mean, I've gotten.
I got clarification on the way to go from George for you. It was the gas pedal analogy.
It was good
and out of left field.
Oh, yeah. Usually.
Yeah. Sorry.
So I'm the Tommy Pham of the. Radio world.
We'll see how this one goes over.
Yeah, I hear you. I'm just kidding.
Well, speaking of vegetables, vegetables and herbs, we're
loaded.
We're in full swing. It's prime planting time. In some cases, it's getting a little late.
Yes.
You know, one of those things is corn. I mean, if you want to try growing corn, if you're going to grow it from seed, it should have been in a while ago.
Now wait a second. Knee high by the 4th of July. So there's still time.
Well, there's time. You're right. There's time.
Okay.
But from seed, probably should have done it a while back.
Agreed.
And you know, you'd be close to harvest. And I'm a huge advocate of growing corn from seed because it's just so much more economical.
Correct.
You can buy a packet of seeds for $1.99 or $2.99 or whatever it is, and you get a handful of them, or you can buy a six pack
for three ninety-nine, or four inch.
I bought a bunch of corn seed and redid the vegetable bed out in the back and went out and planted all of it, and it got about 2 inches tall and then
got snailed.
I don't know. I'm sure it was a water issue.
It typically is, by the way.
Yeah, it's usually more often than not.
Right.
So then I went and bought a couple of six packs and planted the six packs, and now I have nice corn growing
It's funny because I'm sort of an advocate for seed and corn seed, but I don't typically grow corn. But I mean,
corn's one of the things where you need
space.
You need a block of space. Yeah. You can't just grow a single row of corn and be really successful. Corn needs to be planted in a block so that you can get the get the cross pollination on it. Because if you just grow it in a line, the pollen doesn't spread that well through the area, and you don't get as good of kernel production. You can get some really nice ears of corn, but there won't be any kernels on it. Which that's the whole point of the process, but.
I don't want to use the water. I'm already at a $300+ month water bill, so I don't corn.
Oh, that's normal for me.
Is thirsty for me. Well, yours is 2 months, right?
No.
Oh.
No. I get billed two months at a time, but you break it down, it's over three usually.
Mm. Yeah.
So between the pool, the lawn, and everything else.
Yeah, I know. Yes. And don't you hate when you forget to turn the pool water off? I don't know if you've ever done that, but I do it about every time I put water in the pool.
A few years ago, I was filling the pool up, and we went to a birthday party at the Kona Kai Club, and I was sitting at the Kona Kai Club, and I was
thinking,
I forgot to turn the water off.
I got to go home now.
So I called my neighbor, and, we'd love to do that, but we're not home.
Yeah, so can't help you.
All the way from the Kona Kai Club back to Scripps Ranch. Turn the water off of my overflowing pool, and then all the way back down to the Kona Kai Club again.
So. Yeah.
Was the water coming out through the curb? Does that drain into that?
Yeah, the neighbor's shame.
Yeah, I've had people. The drains work really well. Water coming out of your drain, it's going down the street, and I'm like, I turned the water on 2 days ago.
It happens.
Idiot. Yeah.
If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. That's 888-344-1170. You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. We'll be back with more right after this.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery.
Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
When I got to the garden party, they all knew my name. No one recognized me. I didn't look the same, but it's all right now. I learned my lesson well. You see, you can't please everyone, so you got to please yourself.
People, and we're back. Came with more Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I'm Ken Anderson along with Mark Mahady and David Ross. George Allman has the day off. I was talking to Tim out in the betting section, one of our betting supervisors yesterday, and asking him what if we had anything new going on or things to look at. And he said this is a perfect time of year if you want to plant a salsa garden.
Yeah, I would say so.
Tomatoes, peppers. Some Dave's favorite cilantro.
Yeah. I thought you meant a dancing class.
No,
not that. Well, kind of.
No.
Yeah, we probably could teach that too. I have 6 or 8 people at the nursery that probably love the salsa.
Yeah, but this is a great time to do.
Oh yeah,
and if you don't have garden space in your yard, you can certainly
go in container.
Do them containers.
Oh, absolutely.
As a matter of fact, we have. I think they're 3 gallon containers. We have. The 3-in-1 tomato containers, the small, it's a 3-gallon can with 3 small compact growing tomatoes in it.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, I did not see those.
Yeah, I'm not familiar.
My only advice would be to move them into a larger container because in a 3-gallon can, you're going to have to water them probably twice a day.
I did plant tomatillos this year for the first time in years.
It's funny. I've always planted tomatillos.
Why?
For my salsa garden. Don't we dice tomatillos into it?
No. I mean, that's the funny thing about I'm not.
Tell me the funny thing
I've
about
grown
tomatillos. I thought that was what you're supposed to
well,
put
you need,
in salsa.
All you need is, well, yeah, you do. I grow them, and then I don't even know what to do with them. I mean, people use them.
Yeah,
friends of mine will use them. And I like the green salsas and stuff, but I don't know how to do it. I mean, I guess
you cut it.
Oh, don't you? Boil them first?
Oh, do you have to boil them first?
I don't know that.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't know.
No, you just have to take that husk off of them.
Yeah.
That part I could do.
Yeah. I can do that too.
I had a bunny. I planted 3. I had a bunny mow one over, and then
they're easy to grow. They'll get huge.
I was dragging the hose, and it got hooked on something. Yeah. So I pulled the hose harder, and it knocked over a tomato tower, one of my obelisks, and snapped the other one. And so,
well, that'll come back. It's those.
It is. It is coming back from the base, and I have to have 2, right? Otherwise, they won't set.
Well, supposedly, but
I've never heard of that.
I've done one, and I've gotten.
And you've gotten fruit?
Oh, yeah. Tons. And again, I don't know what to do with them. But I grew them. And
my onions are going to seed and dying.
Like
so
Cruz
I
used
mean,
to,
do
one
the
of
same
a,
thing.
A lady, you know, a friend of ours used to come over and I'd give them to her and she would make great, great salsas and things like that. But I don't know. I mean, I personally don't know what I'm doing. I should follow her lead, but
I'm sure there's a YouTube channel for that.
Oh, I'm sure there's one for everything, but well, as far as I know,
that
but I don't go on YouTube.
Yeah, extra effort to get that far.
That's another thing I don't do is YouTube.
I did YouTube this week, and it showed up. It was a dance off between Bob Hope and Jimmy Cagney.
Oh, in the Little Foys?
In the Little
Seven
Foys.
Little Foys. I love that movie.
And
I remember that. Yeah, you put that on Facebook
I did.
Or something.
I thought it was.
But I watched that movie every time it comes on TV. I love that little movie. Yeah, Eddie Foy, or whatever. Move on.
Sorry. No. I was watching Yankee Doodle Dandy with my mom last night, and then halfway through my $1 DVD, it decided
it was
done. Yeah.
And now you can just YouTube it or something.
Well, I could.
Netflix
but that's
or
way
whatever
beyond,
it is. I don't know.
Yes. Way beyond my capabilities.
If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170.
Yeah, let's
the number you're listening to Garden Talk. We're going to go over to Pacific Beach where Bruce is waiting. Good morning, Bruce. How are you?
Good morning, guys. Good show as always.
Thank you.
I got a question about my wife's hydrangea. It's planted in a big pot in a northern exposure, has plenty of flowers, doing real well, but it has gray spots on the leaves.
Mildew.
It's mildew.
And they do it. I mean, almost every hydrangea people. We get probably 15 of them, people bringing them in a day this time of year with mildew on
them. Yeah, it's mildew on the foliage. It's extremely common. It's basically just mostly unsightly. It's not going to kill the plant. Might slow it down a little bit, but it certainly isn't going to kill it.
And it's one of those things, if you start spraying it, you're going to affect, you got to keep it off the flowers. And
yeah,
it's one of those things that I kind of tell people to live with it a little bit. I mean, you can spray it with some fungicides, but, or neem oil.
Well, and the Bayer yeah, 3-in-1.
The Bayer 3-in-1.
Ready to use.
Well, BioAdvance 3-in-1.
BioAdvance
3-in-1. Yeah, that should take care of it as well. But that's what it sounds like. It sounds like it's got some mildew, which is probably, that's the most common problem on hydrangeas. Yeah.
Is that a new problem
yes.
in the last 10 years
well,
or so?
Why
I don't
think
remember
there was climate
no,
change
it's always,
to some degree.
It's always been a problem. Yeah,
has it always been there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And okay, causes the redding of the redder coloration
yeah, browning
of the leaves.
Yeah.
So would you say just leave it alone or would you treat it?
You could go either way.
We actually said both.
Yeah,
we did.
If you just leave it alone, it's really not gonna hurt the plant. It's gonna make it look a little less nice. But it certainly isn't gonna kill the plant. If you want to go ahead and treat it, I would use BioAdvance 3-in-1 insect disease and mite control. That stuff works really, really well on mildew, and you can get that in a ready to spray bottle or
concentrate.
Or a hose end sprayer.
Can I throw out one other thing?
What's
sure.
that?
What about the liquid 3-in-1 that you could just pour around the base? I wonder if that would work on a hydrangea, the one that they have for the roses.
For the roses? Yeah.
I'd have
to look and see. I would think it would work.
And then you wouldn't spray any on the foliage.
Yeah, then
you
wouldn't spray it on the flowers. Yeah, that might work as well.
Try to keep it off the flowers.
Yeah.
Okay, well, thanks a lot.
Okay, thank you.
Have a good weekend.
Thanks, you too. Very much.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening. If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number.
Like you said, hydrangeas, and it's always been a problem. But it's funny. I mean, again, working at the nursery for as many years as
a
we
long
have.
Time.
Yeah. There's things that, and that's, again, I'm not getting into the whole climate, but things over the years, I mean, things that always were bulletproof 30 years ago seem to get mildew and things now.
Oh, I would throw out a different opinion that the hybrids and we're getting so many new varieties of things that are maybe more susceptible
But I'm thinking like Nandinas climate. And things like that. It's like, I mean, those things are bulletproof.
Yeah, but they're all new hybrids.
Well,
poinsettias. You know, we started getting mildew on poinsettias 10 or 15 years ago. We never saw that. Do you remember when that started showing up on the foliage?
Yeah. I don't know. Again, maybe it is just the hybrid
or
the breeding type things.
Combination there,
right? But I do think things have changed. Whether it's I guess the hybrids or whatever or climate or whatever.
It's interesting though because I've never thought about it in that term. Yeah. I've only thought about it in
because tomatoes in my recollection, and maybe they've always gotten mildew, but it seems to be worse than it ever was. But maybe it's because people are planting more tomatoes. I don't know. And I
it's
haven't
the
done.
It's the hybrids.
I know I haven't done research.
Maybe
you
just got a moldy yard. You never know.
Well, yeah. I mean, there's.
But you talk about the Nandinas. When I started in the business, you had Nandina domestica, and you had Nandina domestica compacta, and neither one of them that I recall had a mildew problem.
Yeah.
And now you got.
Yeah, Moon Bays and Gulf Streams and Harbor.
I can't even think of all the different hybrids that there are. And they all have mildew.
Yeah, I know.
So I think in that case it's got to be.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Probably again, a difference in the
hybrids, breeding and stuff. I don't know. At any rate, but it seems as though in my world, mildew and things have gotten worse on particular plants, not just Nandinas, but almost everything. Like Raphiolepis gets the bacterial spots that. And again,
yeah, they've always done. Yeah,
true,
they've always done that.
Yeah, I mean,
during cool, wet winters, which.
But what? You know, what's funny in the rose. I've got I've got maybe half a dozen, maybe a few more roses in my yard. I don't have a mildew problem.
Typically, I don't either.
Or maybe I just don't look at them. One or the other.
Well, I don't have. I don't.
Well, that is one way to avoid having problems in your garden, and that's the best advice.
To not look at it.
Just don't look at your garden, and everything will be fine.
Yeah. Well,
I guess that ends radio show for.
Well, it's funny because I look at it and I still don't see it half the time, you know. But it could be an eye issue or it could be a caring issue.
You know what I don't know. You know what I don't. Talking about garden maladies, what I don't see that much of anymore, and we used to see it all the time, is early blight on tomatoes. People used to bring that in all the time. The black yep. spot on tomatoes
on the, yeah, the stems
on tomato, and on the foliage. We would just tell them spray them with copper spray and it'll be fine. But I don't. Maybe I'm just not down at the customer service counter that much anymore. But we still
see it a bit. But
every once in a while.
Yeah, it's not as prevalent. Yeah,
it used to be every season that it would come in and it would be a problem. Maybe that's just a preference in hybrids that are not
more susceptible
to it. Which, and talking about tomatoes, the other thing that I don't know why they got away from it, but when we used to sell tomatoes in six packs and 4-inch, every tag had the VFNT on it.
Correct.
If they had that.
Yeah.
That would be extremely helpful these days to have that information.
Yeah, it's true.
And they don't put it on. They put everything else on the tag.
Yeah, except for that. I mean, were just the codes to tell you that they were resistant to
verticillium, fusarium,
nematodes,
and tobacco mosaic virus.
But, so yeah, these.
But then, it's VF1 and 2, T1 and 2, and they've got so many now that they are resistant to.
But
to
on the other,
they are resistant.
On the other hand, though, I mean, other than nematodes in my yard, I can't remember the last time somebody brought tomatoes in that had those afflictions.
You know, you're right.
It's been a really long time, and I don't know if we've just moved on past that or.
Yeah, again, things are moving faster than I am, so I don't know. Things we should know or things that people
tune in to learn.
Right,
we're not helping them with today. Is that what you're saying?
Well, yeah, to some degree. We can always find out for us, I mean, for the customer, but. Sometimes, it's like I used to think I knew a lot.
I take the general approach to that. If it's one of the diseases that we can control, try this or this.
Right.
Copper or Immunox.
Right.
And if it's not one of the diseases that we can control, you can still try these two things. And if it fixes it, then it was one of the diseases that we'll control. It's early blight, late blight, or one of the spottings. Otherwise, replant as George. Not George.
Yeah. Are you going to finish that sentence?
No, I'm not going to.
Okay.
You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to be back with more right after this.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
Got to the garden party, they all knew my name. No one recognized me, I didn't look the same. But it's all right now, I learned my lesson well. You see, you can't please everyone, so you got to please yourself.
And we're back with more Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I'm Ken Anderson along with David Ross and Mark Mahady. George Allman has the weekend off.
Apparently not.
Oh, is he? Should just have him call in.
Yeah, I think he probably should.
That's funny.
If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. Let's see. We're going to go talk to Phil. Good morning, Phil. How are you?
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Doing well. Thank you. What's up?
All right. I have raised beds, vegetable gardening, and I have some kale that's carryover from last year. It grows great, but it gets white, I think, aphids. And then the broccoli gets black aphids. Are there two different kind of aphids?
Many,
and are they treated
differently?
There's a lot of different kinds of aphids, and they're all
colors. Yeah.
They're all treated basically the same way. They're relatively easy to control.
Yeah, the white ones are smushy, and you can smush them, but the black ones seem to be like beetles. I mean, they're hard.
That may not be an aphid. That might be like a little bug.
Well, they're super tiny. They're same size, but. I don't know. I was just wondering if there's two different kinds or different treatments.
Many more than two different kinds. They're all susceptible to the same treatments. And I've seen orange ones and yellow ones and gray ones and black ones and white ones and
green.
There's a myriad of colors of them, but they're all controlled the same way. And if it is indeed not crushing, then it's not an aphid. It's a small beetle of some kind that were
it
sounds like and are commonly found on an aphid that is commonly found on broccoli and kale.
Mm-hmm.
But that is why you should not be planting broccoli or kale. Those are not they're bad.
Well, this time of year.
they're bad. No.
Well, they're not bad, but
where's he calling from?
Yeah, where do you live, sir?
I'm calling from Southeast San Diego.
Yeah, so you could get away with growing most of the leaf crops almost year round there.
True, but right. Yeah.
And then I have another question about peppers.
Mm-hmm.
I have pepper plants that are also year carryover and new ones that I planted this year. All of the plants are fruiting and flowering, but the stock, the plant itself is, I don't know, dwarfing. It's just not growing vertical. Is that normal for just this time of year, or?
Well, some varieties are much more compact than others, and if they're producing a lot of fruit, then you're going to get more energy devoted to that rather than growth. And then there are some varieties that get enormous, 4, 5, 6 feet tall.
Right.
And yeah, the Anaheims are doing great, but the Hatch chilies seem to be just a small.
Those are a little bit smaller anyway, aren't they? I think. I believe they are. That's one of the hot ones, right? The hot ones?
Well, no, they're the
one. The plants are only about 5 inches tall, and it gets a 6-inch fruit, so it's dragging on the ground. The other question is, in corn, you had mentioned the growth of it. I have corn that was started from seed, thrown into the raised beds in a few rows in each of 5 boxes. And so I think there's enough cross-pollination.
Mm-hmm.
But the height, last year the corn stalks were growing 8 feet. And this year they've already gone to tassel and they're only probably 4 or 5 feet. And same species of corn. So I'm just wondering, is it just because we've had a cool, overcast spring, or it just needs more time, and even though it goes to tassel, it'll still keep growing?
It could be the spring. If you planted it later last year, then it would have grown a little bit more. But also, over time, the beds get depleted, and I don't know if you re-energize and added new organic matter to the pots or to the beds.
Absolutely.
And fertilizer, because that could affect it as well.
Yeah, I have a mini cultivator rototiller thing, and every year I strip out some dirt, put all new super powerful supplements and amendments, and rototill it back in. And so they're all fresh and new every year, it seems.
If that's the case, then I would think that it might just be a little bit of the cool spring that we've had, and it's just not taken off quite yet. But I certainly wouldn't rule it out. I would think it's probably, as the weather warms up, hopefully it'll start to get going more.
Some more height.
And the last question is, I have for the last 2 years planted watermelon and pumpkins.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as they crawl out of the bed and hit the ground, they all I don't know, dissolved or died off. But this year they seem to all be growing. Is there something special that I need to do to supplement watermelon or pumpkin if it's growing from a bed out into the yard?
No, just making sure that the weight of the stems doesn't pinch them at the edge of the beds where they grow down, because that would shut them down as they spread out of the raised planters. And they do like a lot of space, and they do like a lot of water. And make sure that that is always available to them. And the corn as well. It's a grass and needs a lot of water to do well.
It does need
regular irrigation. And if it gets stressed, if it gets stressed at all, it would or could prematurely start to tassel and form fruit.
Yeah, I've got a great drip system working, and I can adjust it and all that kind of stuff. But I was just wondering, is there a special fertilizer? But it's just basically the most important, of course, is water.
Yes. But they are going to need food, and any good any good tomato and vegetable food is pretty good across. Should be fine across the board, whatever it is that you're growing. But like we always say, the best fertilizer is the one that you actually use. So just keep up with the regular feeding schedule on it.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Thanks, guys.
Thanks for the call, Phil. Have a great weekend.
You know what I noticed too in my house, and I grow some gladiolas, is thrip. This year I haven't. My gladiolas are starting to flower or set up the buds, and they just dried out. And it's not from water, but I think it's from thrip.
They never opened. They're notorious.
Notorious, yeah.
Because we used to recommend that you dust the corms just before you plant them.
Right. I planted them last year in a container, and they've come back beautifully.
Yeah.
But they're.
Yeah, if they're growing and spiking and the flower buds aren't opening,
that's what's happening.
It's usually thrips.
And I just saw that yesterday. I'm like, oh, because I had a white one that was about to, it started to take off. And
don't you hate that when you're ready? Well,
it's funny because I guess I do. I noticed that yesterday. I didn't hate it until yesterday. I know people have hated it for years and years and years, but not me.
I'm very proud of you for actually noticing. That's a big step.
It really is. In my life,
it is.
Most people don't care, and as they shouldn't. But yeah, it's weird that I actually did notice that. Yeah. It's like,
who are you, and what have you done with Mark Mahady?
Exactly. It's long time coming.
All right, we're gonna head. We're gonna head a little bit south to Otay Mesa, where Bob is waiting. Good morning, Bob. How are you?
I'm doing well. Good morning, gentlemen.
What can we do for you?
I planted a Betty Corning clematis in March. It was really young, about 6 inches tall. Right now it's about 18 inches tall, and I just noticed some brown spots on the leaves, and as I researched it, it said it was something you need to cut out. I would like to get your opinion on what I should do with that.
Okay, where do you have it growing? I mean, is it full sun?
In my backyard, full sun, facing south.
Well, clematis, I mean, they like to keep the roots cool. And they top likes to be out in the sun, but the roots don't like to stay hot.
I've got it mulched.
Okay.
I got it mulched about.
That certainly will help. Without seeing what the actual brown spots are, it's kind of hard to say.
But it should have, in my mind, it should have grown more than 18 inches.
Yeah. Have you fed it with, what are you feeding it with?
I've fed it with fish emulsion.
Okay.
And I've given it worm castings. Okay. And I got something from your place for root stimulator. It's in a little bottle. It's
Super Thrive?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Well, that's all the right moves.
How often are you watering?
Probably once a week.
It might want to touch more than
that, especially in a south exposure. Facing. You might give it a little bit more. You might give it a little bit more water than that. And if you are feeding it, just make sure you're doing it on a regular basis, especially with something like fish emulsion, which is a liquid,
very mild too.
Yeah, it's relatively mild.
It should be. There's no problems with using it at all, but just use a little bit, maybe a little bit more frequent. I don't know how often you do it, but
you haven't put any of the fish emulsion up on the foliage, have you? You haven't gotten any on it when you're applying it, have you?
No, if I rinse it off.
Okay.
Yeah. How often should I use the fish emulsion?
Probably at least twice a month. Yeah,
yeah.
Because it's liquid. It works fast theoretically, through the roots and foliage, but you have to do it frequently when it's warmer out.
Good. Okay. Well, I haven't been doing that.
Okay. Well,
if you're in the neighborhood sometime, grab some of the foliage that you have some issues with and bring it by the store. We're happy to take a look at it and see if there's something else going on there. But if we can see it, we have a much better chance of
or take a picture of it.
Or you can even email us a picture of it too. That will work as well.
All right. I'll do that. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks for the call, Bob. Have a great weekend.
You too. Thank you.
Thank you.
I was going to say clematis, or
they could be a little touchy.
Yeah, in San Diego. Yeah.
Beautiful plant, but
beautiful. When they're in flower, I don't know if there's anything prettier as far as a vine.
They really are pretty. You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with more right after this.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
To the garden party, they all knew my name. No one recognized me. I didn't look the same, but it's all right now. I learned my lesson well. You see, you can't please everyone, so you got to please yourself.
And we're back. People came. With more Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ, I'm Ken Anderson, along with David Ross and Mark Mahady. George has the weekend off. We're going to go back to the phones. We're going to head up to Fallbrook, where Harry is waiting. Good morning, Harry. How are you?
Good morning. I've got two questions. How do you protect how do you control earwigs, and how do you protect green cabbage from being eaten by rats?
Well, the earwig thing in a vegetable garden, I take it. Or just in general, in a vegetable garden, you can use diatomaceous earth will take care of them, and I think
Sluggo Plus,
which it's a slug and snail control, but it also has spinosad in it, which controls chewing insects, and that's what earwigs are. That can take care of it as well. And actually, the Sluggo Plus is probably the most economical way to do it because it 1 pound will cover a thousand square feet. Yeah. So that's something that you could use there. As far as protecting cabbage
from rats,
I think the only surefire thing to do there is to probably put some kind of a physical barrier, like a cage made out of chicken wire or something like that around them. I can't think of anything that's going to...
Yeah, no repellents.
Rat traps. You could
put traps out, but you could try the repellents, but I wouldn't put a lot of faith in that.
At the risk of being redundant, I'm going back out to rat traps or ratinators. Got to get rid of the rats.
Yeah.
Because going out and physically wrapping each of your heads of cabbage or whatever with, it would have to be hardware cloth because I think they would get through the chicken wire.
Maybe.
So you'd have to go with the hardware cloth.
Something smaller. Yeah, smaller hold. Yeah.
Smaller and heavier. Yeah. That's my suggestion for it. I don't have a,
Yeah.
I don't have a tried and true thing, but like David said, trapping them, you could certainly give that a shot. But you got to find some kind of a bait to put in the trap that's going to be more attractive than the
cabbage.
than the fresh cabbage that they're going after.
Is there a commercial cabbage protector?
No, not that I know.
Not that I'm aware of.
There might be.
We don't sell it.
Not something that we carry. So I think you'd have to come up with something on your own on that one.
I don't know if Grangetto's has something.
Yeah, you might check with Grangetto's up in Escondido to see if they have something like that. They're more of a farm and grove supplier. They may have something, but I can't think of any surefire thing that we have other than the things that we mentioned.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome.
Okay. Thanks for the call. Have a great weekend.
I wish we had an answer to that one, but
you know, I put out my ratinator and I got
chicken wire.
Thank you. And I put some cat food in it and a raw egg, and I caught nothing for many, many days, if not weeks. And then I went by every night. I go by with my flashlight and check it out, and I had 4 or 5 of the cutest little baby possums in there.
Oh, you were telling us about that. Yeah.
No, I let them go. I just opened it up and let them all go. They're good. They
eat
bad things.
They're a beneficial.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Beneficial marsupial.
And if seeing them, the adults cruising up my driveway, and I say cruising, they're kind of like the Mark Mahady of the marsupial.
They
kind of just plod along would be what I would say. Okay. Couldn't care less about me, but.
Just like me.
Yeah. Thanks, Mr. Mahady. Yeah, that's so kind of you.
Kidding, of course.
Ravens, totally changing the subject.
That is changing the subject. I didn't see that coming.
You all know right, where
well, right, I'm okay, okay,
you started.
Go ahead.
What?
Well, you said Ravens. What about them? Baltimore or?
No. Right?
Oh.
And not even the flying ones.
Oh, okay.
What are you talking about?
The Ravens ZZ plants.
Yeah. Okay, good. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Well, yeah.
I'm actually going to talk about plants for a moment on the show.
Well, no, that's fine.
I don't normally do that.
Yeah.
But we got some in both stores, and I think they're out at both stores, which is the dark-leafed ZZ plant, which is kind of neat.
Yeah, because we don't get them often. So that's another, and we got in again, not to change the subject on that. We also some citrus.
We just came to the subject.
No, I know. But citrus, we got a bunch of citrus in, which we're
not.
We don't get a lot of.
Yeah, it's one of those things where people call and we say we don't know, and then all of a sudden it shows up, and we look like idiots.
we do that really well.
Correct, but we actually got in some Meyer lemons and some Baird's lime, Mexican limes, 5 gallon some
and
of
the Hystrix.
Hystrix. I shouldn't say the only thing, but Calamundans we still cannot get.
But
we did get stuff in. So.
And what were the two non-citrus? Or the
we got some loquats in and some cherimoyas. Not many, unfortunately. No. So, but
they looked good.
I was surprised.
These trees were not the little baby ones that we've been getting. So.
Yeah, sorry, Cole.
That's okay. But no, we got some nice looking stuff in. We're going to go back to the phones real quick, and we're going to talk to Nicole in San Diego. Good morning, Nicole. How are you?
Hi. Good morning. How are you all?
We're doing
very well, thank you.
What can we do for you?
Good, good. Well, I'm a longtime listener, but a first-time caller. So,
thank
you.
It's good to be on the line with you.
We're up to 10. Yeah. We're up to 10 listeners now with Nicole.
Thank you very
much.
Sounds like you're trending. You're getting it into the double digits.
That's right.
Well, I hear that today is the Belmont Stakes, and the official flower of the stakes is white carnation, standing for luck and love. And they have over 700 carnations that they bring in from Colombia. And I'm just curious, I'm a avid rose and alstomeria grower. I was curious to know if in San Diego, here where I live, if you can grow carnations, if the weather is as appropriate for good growth for carnations.
You know, a long time ago, they used to be really popular. We would get the long stem carnation. We'd get the long stem carnation cuttings in every spring and in a variety of colors.
Yeah.
But it's been
well,
years
it's funny.
Since
we used to
had.
Yeah, we do get carnations in. Dianthus, and they're not the big
Not the showy long ones, stems, but there are some.
But we used to get the ones that you used,
the
David used to get from the cutting grown
ones. From Salinas.
Yeah, from, and we'd have somebody send them to us, and we'd have a grower grow them, and we'd get the big candy striped and the big beautiful carnations. Mm-hmm. And they do well here.
Yeah.
It's just we haven't
They're ugly, stringy plants with beautiful, fragrant flowers.
Yeah. Correct.
But that company offshored their production of carnations from here to Japan, and we don't get them anymore.
Okay.
But you can, I think it's Shabad.
Okay.
Is one of the mixes of the large ones, and we have them in seed that you could grow. And they do grow very well here if you want to reach out and do that.
Yes.
Okay.
And that will bring you luck and love. Is that correct? Is that what you
said?
Yes.
Luck and love. And today's the big race.
Oh, it is. It is. Exclusive quality is going to win it.
Is there? Well, who's going to win?
Exclusive quality.
Okay, I'll be sure not to bet that one.
Exactly.
Are you,
it's old school.
Mark recommends it.
Kenny's known me for a long, long time.
Are you going to be able to watch the Belmont Stakes today, Mark?
We'll see. It's touch and go. If I get done with that stress test early enough, yeah.
Yeah, they may have to call it quickly.
Or I'll have a heart attack and be able to.
You've been listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ.
Thanks for the
KPRZ.
Call, Nicole.
Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll be back with another hour of Garden Talk next Saturday at 6 o'clock.
Thanks for joining us on Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery, your source for gardening, landscaping, and horticulture news. Still have a question for the Garden Talk crew or want to learn more about the show, how to become a guest or sponsor? Send an email to askanexpert@walteranderson.com. That's askanexpert@walteranderson.com or visit walteranderson.com. There's more professional gardening advice next week at this same time on Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery.
This program is sponsored by Walter Anderson Nursery.